I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It was opening day for the new health insurance marketplaces yesterday, and here in New Hampshire, their rollout was described as bumpy, crowded, and confusing, including a website glitch that caused the system to temporarily shut down. The marketplaces are the new online locations where Americans can shop around for health coverage. They're intended for people currently uninsured seeking individual coverage, but not for people poor enough to qualify for Medicaid, old enough to be on Medicare, or those Americans covered by their jobs. Although that last piece could change in the years ahead, depending on how this healthcare law shakes out. And there's been some confusion about it. For example, just before open enrollment began yesterday, the Obama administration had to delay two aspects of the new marketplaces, the small business exchanges and the Spanish language version of the online navigators. But what is clear is that Americans have lots of questions. In fact, the last time we here on The Exchange talked about the health insurance marketplaces, we received so many questions, we decided to take another look at this topic today, especially given the rollout of the marketplaces just yesterday. And so this hour, we will answer as many of your questions as we possibly can. So join us now. What do you want to know about these new marketplaces, how they'll operate, whether they apply to you, and how you can find out more? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Or you can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. We have three guests here. Todd Bookman is with us, NHPR's health reporter. And Todd, thank you very much.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Sarah Palermo, the Concord Monitor's health reporter. She's been reporting on these exchanges and the rollout. And Sarah, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us, Jennifer Patterson, health legal counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And Jennifer, I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for being
here. Thanks, Laura. Happy to be here.
Well, and before we start going to our listeners, and again, we'll take as many questions and comments as we possibly can this hour on these marketplaces. Todd Bookman, how did opening day go?
Glitchy, I think. I don't know if glitchy is a word, but that's what we heard a lot. We know this. By 4 p.m. yesterday, more than 2.8 million people had visited healthcare.gov. That's sort of the central clearinghouse website for these exchanges. The 1-800 call centers that people can call, they had more than 81,000 calls. A lot of people experienced very long wait times to actually talk with somebody. So there were sort of a lot of people facing a lot of big technical hurdles in trying to navigate around these websites. It was unable to load at times. I experienced that both at sort of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. just couldn't get on.
Oh, so you tried to get on yesterday?
I did, just to sort of surf around and see what was available, and wasn't sort of able to get through to actually see the plans that are available and sort of shop around and see what consumers may face. Around the country, people face this issue. Maryland was offline much of the day. We know that Colorado had almost 35,000 visits in the first 3 hours.
Wow.
They apparently had some glitches. Connecticut had 100,000 visits by 9 a.m. Our friends in Hawaii weren't able to access their website. I mean, there were a lot of glitches around the country. We saw this. But it's also important to remember this was just day one.
Day one, right. And we'll talk a little bit later about how long this enrollment period continues. Sarah Palermo, what did you hear about yesterday?
I experienced exactly what Todd did. I also tried to click around and get on there. I made it through the first two steps fine. Step three was the one that kept really being a roadblock for me. It was when you would be setting up security questions and there would be drop-down menus, but they were blank. You couldn't type in your own security question. Refreshing the page led you back to a please wait message. And I did hear from an insurance broker, a private insurance agent who was signing people up, who did make it through the entire process several times through signing people up for subsidies, everything. But he said even for him, it was frustrating and spotty coverage.
He's even a professional.
Yeah.
He's an insurance
exactly.
broker. Wow, interesting. It kind of makes you wonder, didn't they test this thing out before they rolled it out yesterday?
Yeah, I read some national reports that they did, but even down in D.C., there were IT folks camped out at the sites of all the servers just waiting for things to happen.
Well, and the obvious question, too, is, you mentioned down in D.C., IT folks. Sarah, did you or Todd, you hear anything about the government shutdown affecting the opening of these marketplaces? Todd?
No impact. The government shutdown is sort of not to blame for what we saw yesterday with sort of the technical problems. The government shutdown does not impact Obamacare at the moment. I mean, a deal may be struck potentially, although that's looking unlikely. They could impact the Affordable Care Act. But as of right now, the government shutdown has no impact on the rollout of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, and Jennifer Patterson, I want to bring you into this as well. As I said, you're health legal counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. What was yesterday like for you, Jennifer?
Well, thanks, Laura. I've resisted the urge to go on. I did go on, and then I didn't try to get through any of the security
questions. On healthcare.gov.
On healthcare.gov, because, again, healthcare.gov is our marketplace in New Hampshire because New Hampshire is not building its own exchange. The federal government is building and operating the exchange for us. So what we've been doing at the insurance department is really the traditional role of the insurance department. We regulate the carriers. We regulate the plans. We are there for consumers if they have questions about their coverage or about appeals, but we're not the ones who are actually operating it. What we have been doing is working to get accurate information out about what it means for folks in New Hampshire. So I like to quote Commissioner Savini, the insurance commissioner, who always says, "We come not to praise or to bury the ACA, but just to say, what does it actually mean for people?" So that's why we're here. The other thing I hear a lot is drinking from a fire hose. A huge amount of information is going out to people, and we're really trying to sort through what's new specifically in New Hampshire. What do people really need to think about as they make these decisions?
All right. And that is what we're doing today in the exchange as well. So we're trying to answer as many of your questions as possible. You can join us now at 1-800-892-6477 as we talk about the rollout of these health insurance marketplaces just yesterday. What questions or comments do you have about these? What they might mean for you and your family? 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And all of you, let's go to our listeners now. And Ray's calling from Litchfield. Hi, Ray. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I were self-employed, and we have our own individual plans right now to Anthem. And so yesterday I wanted to go on and see, are we going to be getting, you know, is it going to be cheaper to go through an exchange or what we have? And the least expensive bronze plan that Anthem has is actually $140 a month more. Our current deductible, family deductible, just again, my wife and I, is $8,000. And with that plan, it's $11,000 a year. So my question was, is Anthem going to keep these plans or they're going to be dropping those and moving everybody over to an exchange next year?
So you're on Anthem right now, Ray.
Right, with our own individual plan.
Sure, and on the exchange or marketplace, it was actually more expensive than what you have right now.
Correct, like $140 a year more, a month more, excuse me, $140 a month more, and the deductible went up $3,000.
Wow, okay.
Now, I did check with Anthem because, you know, the healthcare.gov was down, but they actually have a subsidy calculator, and for just a couple, the cutoff was $68,000 a year income. And the other question, is that gross income or is that taxable income?
Wow. Okay, Ray, lots of questions. And thank you so much for calling in. Jennifer, did you want to jump in?
Well, just to talk briefly about what plans will be available, because it is a little bit confusing. So there are the plans that are being sold on the exchange. All of those are Anthem plans. Then there are also plans that will be sold off the exchange. Some of those are Anthem. Some of those are other carriers. The important thing to understand about the exchange or the marketplace is that that's the only place where people can get subsidies. So if you're somebody who's likely to be eligible, in other words, your income is less than 400% of federal poverty, then it's worth looking at those exchange plans and what subsidy amount you might get. If you're over that amount, you might want to look at the plans available outside the exchange, and there will be several available. But the other thing to keep in mind is that the plan that people have currently from Anthem, they can't continue to have that in 2014. They can have it until it runs out if you renew it now. But for any plan that's issued in 2014, there are a lot of new requirements under the ACA that apply both on and off of the exchange in the individual market. So there will be changes whether or not people use the exchange.
Yeah, it's tricky too, Todd. He said he's self-employed, and I don't know if this applies to you, Ray, or not, but from what I understand, Todd, there was supposed to be a small business exchange that rolled out this week, and that didn't happen.
Well, the Small Business Exchange, the Shop Exchange, is for employers managing businesses or nonprofits with fewer than 50 employees. The Shop Exchanges are open. They're just not open online.
I see.
You can apparently still fax in your applications. They're supposed to come online November 1st.
So I see.
That's a one-month delay. For the self-employed, though, I think what Ray is going to want to do is still go into the individual exchange marketplace. He's going to want to shop around. He's going to want to see what his prices and availabilities are. It's important to note that his plan is going to change likely. If he buys through the exchange, his Anthem plan is going to be what's called it's going to be a sort of narrow network plan. So he may have to switch doctors if he purchases through the exchange. However, he's going to be able to get subsidies as long as he makes sort of less than this federal poverty line limit to get help buying that insurance. So I think Ray really needs to sort of sit down perhaps with a broker or a navigator and really think through his options and also decide which plan is right for him. We've got these different tiers. He's talking about a bronze plan. That may not be right for Ray based on how he sort of uses medical services.
Well, and another quick important point to you, Sarah, you know, we've heard a lot from people going online, looking at the prices and going, wow, it's really expensive. But you got to go all the way through the process, right? Because you may qualify for subsidies depending on your income level.
Right. I wasn't able to make it all the way through to find out when that calculation would be made. But it's also important to understand that it's not apples to apples comparisons. These plans that are being sold on the exchange are actually different plans. They need to incorporate specific health benefits that current plans aren't mandated to cover. So you might be paying more. You might also be getting more coverage, or at least you will be getting different coverage.
Yeah. And Jennifer, did you want to jump back in there as well?
Well, just one caveat to the idea that you can't continue to be on the plan that you're on now in 2014. There is one exception to that, and that's the grandfathered plans, but it's a pretty limited exception. It's only for plans that were actually issued and in place before the Affordable Care Act was enacted. So that was in March of 2010. If your plan was issued or changed after that date, then you'll need to get a new 2014 plan.
Okay, Ray, I hope we helped you out a little bit there. Thank you very much for calling in. We're taking your questions and comments about the Affordable Care Act's rollout of the health insurance marketplaces. Just yesterday, we'll try to answer as many of your questions as possible. So join us at 1-800-892-6477, email exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. Former New Hampshire resident Bill Bryson is also one of the most admired nonfiction writers in the country. NHPR's Virginia Prescott will be sitting down with Bryson to discuss One Summer, an examination of the year America stepped onto the global stage, 1927. Join us at the Music Hall in Portsmouth tomorrow evening. Visit themusichall.org for tickets. Writers on a New England Stage is a partnership between New Hampshire Public Radio and the Music Hall. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from AARP, presenting You've Earned a Say, a community discussion on solutions to keep Medicare and Social Security strong, inviting Granite Staters to join the conversation at aarp.org/NH. From Vineyard Brands, importers of Juarez Otima 10-year-old Tawny Port, now available at all New Hampshire state liquor stores, vineyardbrands.com. And New Hampshire Magazine this month featuring the Beer Lover's Guide to the Granite State and a look at the state's two Shaker communities. New Hampshire Magazine, where New Hampshire comes to you. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, questions and answers about the new health insurance marketplaces in New Hampshire that rolled out just yesterday. We invite you to join us with your questions and comments about how these might work, whether they apply to you. 1-800-892-6477. Send an email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests for the hour answering your questions. Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter. Sarah Palermo, the Concord Monitor's health reporter. And Jennifer Patterson, Health Legal Counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And I've got a pile of emails here that I'd like to go through with all of you and then back to our phones, which are filling up. Here's a question from Mark, who says, wondering what happens for homeless folks who can't afford health care or the fines if they don't have it. Todd Bookman.
So the state is still trying to decide whether or not we're going to expand Medicaid. And it sounds like Mark may be concerned about people making sort of no income or under 138% of the federal poverty level. That's the sort of question we're still trying to answer in New Hampshire about Medicaid expansion. If the state does move forward with expansion, somebody in that situation would likely qualify for Medicaid. They can apply through the exchange, or they can apply sort of through the traditional route to get enrolled in Medicaid. If we don't expand Medicaid. People that make less than 100% of the federal poverty line, so this is basically less than about, I think it's $11,500, people that make less than that each year cannot get subsidies through the exchange, because when the Affordable Care Act was written, it wasn't sort of envisioned that Medicaid expansion would be an option. However, the tax, the fee that you have to pay as an individual if you do not have health insurance starting in 2014, that doesn't apply to you if you earn less than, I think it's $10,000, because you don't have to file income taxes. So you do not have to actually pay this penalty of $95. So a person in that situation may not actually see any change. They may not get health insurance, but they likely will not be subject to the individual mandate.
Sarah, did you want to jump in there?
Sure. There's actually a list of folks on healthcare.gov who are considered exempt, and the homeless population is one of them, folks who have gone through a foreclosure within the past few months. Bankruptcy filings recently, there are folks who are considered, just even if the income math doesn't work out exactly right, especially people who are homeless, that's the first line on the exemption list.
Well, and if you're very poor, right, Sarah, you qualify for Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So you're covered there instead of through the exchanges.
Well, in New Hampshire, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Our Medicaid program right now works for folks who are below a certain income level and have another qualifying concept.
I see.
People who are very poor and pregnant
disabled.
Have young children.
I see. Jennifer, you want to jump in and Todd?
Yeah, well, what happened with the Medicaid expansion is when the ACA was passed, it was mandatory for all states. But when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on the law, they upheld the entire law, except they said that states got to choose whether to participate in the Medicaid expansion. So if New Hampshire participates, as Todd said, everyone making up to 138% of federal poverty level will be on Medicaid. But if we don't, then we're just going with our traditional Medicaid population, which as Sarah described it.
I see. Okay, Mark. Well, great question. And here's another one from Jill in Enfield. She says, if we currently have insurance for our families through our employers, do we still apply, or is it only for those who don't have insurance? Todd Bookman, you want to take that one?
Jill, you likely do not need to bother with these exchanges at all. As long as you're happy with the insurance you get through your employer, you're fine. You're covered, and there's really no need for you to shop through the marketplace. However, if you're unhappy with the coverage you're getting through your employer, you can shop. You can check it out. You can see what your options are. If your employer is providing you very bare-bones coverage that has a high out-of-pocket component to it for you, Jill, if your out-of-pocket component, I think, is more than 9.5% of your income, you can then shop in the marketplace and also qualify for the subsidies potentially if your income is sort of in the right level. But if you're happy with your plan but you want to just shop around and see what the coverage is and you like a plan that you actually see in the marketplace, you're probably not going to be able to get the subsidies, the tax subsidies, to help you pay for it if your employer already offers you coverage. So people with employer-sponsored coverage likely do not want to or don't have to deal with this new marketplace.
All right, Jill, thanks for the email. Again, you can email us with your questions, exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Waiting in Concord is Tom. Hi, Tom. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I keep hearing that the reason we only have one option for an exchange is a state issue. Listening to Howard Dean the other night on C-SPAN and in written press, I've heard both of those. And I just wonder if anybody could address what happened that we only have one option.
Why we only have Anthem as the only provider right now on the marketplace, Tom. Is that what you're asking?
Correct, Laura.
Yeah. Do you want to jump in, Jennifer? I actually wouldn't mind hearing from everybody on this.
Sure, Tom. In New Hampshire, again, we're not building our own exchange, and our approach actually by statute is to let the free markets work. And so basically that's what's happened in New Hampshire. Unlike some other states that are building their own exchanges that have been more involved in the process of working with the carriers, we said, you know, if you apply, if you meet all the standards, then you will be able to offer your plans on the exchange. And Anthem was the only one who applied. So that's, again, as Laura said, that's for 2014. For 2015, there'll be another opportunity for other carriers
Harvard
to come
Pilgrim's
in.
Harvard Pilgrim's jumping in. Correct.
Right. But the other thing to think about is how does competition really work in the health insurance markets? And it's a little different from other markets. So this is something that the insurance department has done a lot of research on and looking at the costs of premiums. So for a health insurance carrier, one of the key considerations is negotiating a provider network and negotiating discounted rates with those providers. So if you come in as a carrier and you have a large population, it gives you a better ability to negotiate lower rates. So the fact that Anthem, which currently about 80 to 85% of our individual market is already an Anthem product, is the only carrier that applied, is not that surprising. But what we're hoping is that over time there will be more interest and there will be more carriers.
Arthur, if you want to jump in on that, Sarah?
What came to mind when Jennifer was just talking is that the other option that's available off of the exchange, I think, is through Assurant. And just when that was announced on Friday, I went into a report that the insurance department had out just recently this summer. Assurant, I think, currently, or at least in 2011, when those numbers in the report were from, insured about 13 to 15% of the individual market. So they're
That's a lot, actually.
It was the second highest. And so they're looking to continue with what they were doing off of the exchange.
All right. Well, thanks for the question. 1-800-892-6477 is the number. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Tom, thanks for joining us. I want to go now to someone who has been deeply involved in this issue and who I'm guessing had a very busy day yesterday. Bridget LaFlamme is with us, community health educator for Coos County Family Health Services, and she's supervising health exchange navigators. And Bridget, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, just remind us what a navigator is.
A navigator is a person who is going to be assisting the patients through the eligibility and enrollment process. So we'll find out, we'll assess the patient's needs and see what's most concerning to them and what they want to do. From there, we'll help them with the online application or paper application, or if they want to call in, they can do that as well. So we'll help them with all of that. And the only thing that we can't do is once they go to the part where they pick a plan, we can't tell them what plan to choose.
Now, that's interesting, and that makes sense. You wouldn't want, publicly paid navigators to say you should choose company X over company Y. But here in New Hampshire, Bridget, as you know, there's only one company. So can you help people out between sort of choosing between bronze and silver and gold and so forth?
Oh, definitely. Once they complete their eligibility and get their application complete, they have a chance to look over their plans. They can sort and filter through side by side and look at each plan and kind of look through it and figure out, well, which one is going to work out the best for me.
How busy was it for you yesterday, Bridget? I'm just curious.
We were very, very, we had one person come in that didn't have access to a computer. So we helped them with the paper application and it worked out great. What we're finding is that we're getting a lot of calls for people that want to come in, set up an appointment with us, and so we can help them through the process. Yesterday was crazy with phone calls.
Really?
Yeah, so we're really encouraged. We're anxious to help people out. We understand that it's new for everybody and they want to learn about it. We've been getting a lot of questions, and we're definitely here to help.
What were some of the most common questions that you got yesterday?
Affordability.
Really?
Am I going to be able to afford this? Is it something that's going to fit my budget? For example, somebody called, they make $25,000 a year. They weren't sure if they'd be able to qualify for any of the tax subsidies. So what we did with them is there's an online tool available on healthcare.gov that can kind of estimate for you whether, through your income, whether you would qualify or not for any tax subsidies. And if you did, an estimate of what that cost would be. So when we work that out with the patients, a lot of times they're feeling more confident, okay, I think this is something I can afford. Now, with this person that makes $25,000 a year, with that online tool that we use that's available on healthcare.gov, her estimated tax credit would have been $1,369 a year. So depending on what plan she picked would be her cost savings. How, to figure out from there.
How did it go with healthcare.gov yesterday for you, Bridget? We heard earlier in the program about a lot of glitches yesterday.
Yeah, it was slow going, but I'm taking that as a sign that people are very anxious to get on there and find out what it's about and get covered. We didn't actually have anybody come in that needed help with the online, so I guess I can't really speak to that. But
you were getting phone calls, yeah.
We were getting phone calls, and the folks that we helped didn't have access to a computer or an email address. So doing the online application wouldn't benefit them, so they wanted to do the paper route, and that's what we helped out with yesterday.
Bridget, how can Granite Staters find a navigator? If they're listening to us talk right now and they're saying, gee, I'd love some help just working through this, how can they find a navigator like you?
I know that there's information on healthcare.gov, and I also know that New Hampshire's working on getting a site, which I don't know what the site is right now, but where somebody could go and look and find that information.
And you are working with Bi-State Primary Care, right?
Correct. We're working under two grants. One is through the Health Resources and Service Administration, which requires our agency to be a designated certified application counselor. And we're working through Bi-State Primary Care with the Navigator funding that they got under CMS, which is the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services.
Well, Bridget LaFlamme, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Bridget LaFlamme, community health educator for the Coos County Family Health Services. She's supervising health exchange navigators with Bi-State Primary Care. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And this hour on The Exchange, we're trying to take just as many of your questions and comments about the new health insurance marketplaces as we possibly can. So join us now. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call. 1-800-892-6477. Jennifer Patterson with the New Hampshire Insurance Department. Yeah, a little bit more on the navigators, please, and their role.
Well, what I was going to say was, just following up on what Bridget said, a good place to look for New Hampshire-specific information is the New Hampshire Health Plan. We'll be doing outreach and education. They have a website, which is www.nhhp.org. And if you go to that website, there's a kind of yellow box for consumer assistance. Click on that, and it's not up yet because they're really only just getting started. The federal grant that they have was just awarded this week, but they will be really, I think, a clearinghouse for information about where people can get help.
The grant was just awarded this week, even though the rollout was yesterday.
Well, we're lucky to have it, and to have it on September 30th, by the way. The other key resource that people should be aware of are the agents and brokers, because they have been in the business for a long time of helping people understand what plan is right for them. And as Bridget said, they're the only assister who can actually recommend a particular plan. So for a lot of people, there'll be really a lot of considerations that are very individual and personal to them that have to do with how much services, what their health is like. They're going to have to decide whether they want to buy a bronze plan where the premium will be low, all of the preventative care will be covered, but then if they end up with a high cost, they may have a high deductible that they would have to pay out of pocket. If they're using a lot of care, then they would have to really think about getting a silver or a gold plan where they would have a higher premium but lower out-of-pocket going forward.
Yeah, you got to look at everything.
So it's because, a very complicated decision for people to make.
Sure. And when you say a broker, you mean just a traditional insurance person with any traditional insurance
company?
Absolutely.
I think if people have an insurance agent that they've been using, they can go and see. There is a process where agents and brokers can become qualified through the federal exchange to assist people and ask if they have gone through that process and whether they can help.
Tom, go ahead.
It's important to note that no matter which plan you buy through the marketplace, you get the same medical services. They're all covered. They're called the essential health benefits. But like Jenny was talking about, each of these plans has what's called a different actuarial value. So the bronze plans are sort of the cheapest monthly plans, but the highest out-of-pocket expenses. The platinum plans are on the other end of it. They have the lowest out-of-pocket expenses, although the highest monthly premiums. And so this is really important. People may just sort of gravitate towards the bronze plan because it's going to have the cheapest sticker price, but they may be very surprised when they actually use medical services how much out-of-pocket they have to pay. I mean, the out-of-pocket is capped for people. It's especially capped for people that make less than 250% of federal poverty. Only if you buy a silver plan is it capped. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, ins and outs of this, which is why it's so important to either talk to a navigator, an assister, or your, you know, sort of friendly insurance broker
to
learn more.
So if you're young and healthy, Todd, you may, bronze may be okay because, you know, it's a low monthly premium, a lot of deductibles you have to meet. But if you're, you know, under 35, the assumption is unless you have a car accident or something, you're probably going to be okay.
That's the thought. I think we would probably expect to see sort of younger consumers gravitate towards the bronze plans. It's important to note for consumers under the age of 30, New Hampshire will offer a catastrophic plan through the marketplace. Anthem is offering a catastrophic plan that is much cheaper on the monthly premium. You cannot get subsidies, but it does satisfy the mandate. But you have to be, again, under 30 to access this catastrophic plan, which will sort of be on the cheap for a lot
sure.
of people.
Sarah, go ahead.
Well, for folks who want some of that professional help but maybe don't have a relationship with a broker or an agent previously, don't have someone that they've been dealing with in the past, I learned yesterday that Rite Aid pharmacies have started a partnership with brokerages across the country. From Rite Aid's press office, I think there's 2,000 of their pharmacies across the country out of, I think, 4,600. 2,000 of them will have brokers there one day a week. So it might be in your interest if you want that professional help, if you know that you're going to want someone to be able to make an actual recommendation on what plan to choose, to check out if your local pharmacy, what day they might be having a broker if they're part of that program.
Interesting. All right. And we've got lots of emails that I want to try and get through and some more calls that we'll take after a short break. Here's an email from Andrea who says, when you look at income levels for subsidy, eligibility and other purposes on the marketplace, is it gross income or taxable income or another figure? Andrea, good question. Jennifer, do you know?
I've heard the federal agency people talk about this, but I don't know it off the top of my head. I think it's gross income.
Yeah, and if she goes to healthcare.gov, it'll probably say, right, Todd or Sarah, when you guys went in, it probably said enter your gross or enter your...
We weren't able to get that
Didn't
far.
Get that
yeah.
Far.
Okay. Well, Andrea, as somebody said yesterday, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So hopefully that'll be worked out soon. I have a couple more emails that I want to share with you after a super short break. And we'll take your calls at 1-800-892-6477. And Jennifer Patterson, a real busy day for you. I know you have to leave us now. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Patterson, Health Legal Counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And we'll be back in just a minute.
This is NHPR. It's 9:39. Good morning.
On the next Ian Rehm Show, Tea Party politics and the price of a federal shutdown. Then Pulitzer Prize-winning author Zsumpa Lahiri on her new novel. All coming up on the Ian Rehm Show.
The Ian Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from Franklin Pierce University, a leader in adult education, offering an MBA in energy and sustainability studies. New term begins in November. Information at franklinpierce.edu. And from Small Dog Electronics, offering Dr. Small Dog house calls for home and business, Mac and PC technical service and repair. Online at smalldog.com/doctor. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're taking your questions about the new health insurance marketplaces and their rollout yesterday in New Hampshire and around the country. Let's hear from you now. We're taking your questions and comments about these new marketplaces at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Our guests in the studio are two people who've been covering this rollout very carefully, Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter, and Sarah Palermo, the health reporter at the Concord Monitor. One more time, the exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. And Lisa's joining us from Berlin. Hi, Lisa, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting. Lisa, go ahead. Are you on the air with us? All right. And I guess Lisa got tired of waiting. Lisa, you can call back the number 1-800-892-6477. Here's a couple more emails that I want to share with both of you. Here's one from Amelia, who says, a couple of weeks ago, you reported that none of the marketplace insurance plans would cover Concord Hospital. Is this still the case? Does this mean the insurance companies do not cover any doctors, labs, etc., associated with Concord Hospital? Amelia says, we purchase private insurance through Anthem right now, but if we have to move to one of the marketplace plans, it would not work out for our family if we have to drive to Manchester for every service. Can you please clarify how this would work? Amelia, it's a great question, and especially a hot topic in the Concord area, Sarah.
It is, and unfortunately, I don't have any good news for Amelia. That's exactly how it's going to work. If you purchase plan through Anthem next year, not just on the exchange but off, they're working under what the industry calls a narrow network, which means they have chosen and negotiated with a certain number of hospitals. I think it's 16 out of the 26 in the state, and Concord Hospital was not one of them. The two groups just couldn't really come to an agreement on reimbursement rates. Although I think... And Todd, maybe you know for sure, but I think ER services are covered, but things like appointments and other services would not be.
That's right. You can still visit any sort of emergency room in the state for those services. And Anthem likes to point out this sort of narrow network. It only applies to individual policies, only individual policies, and only those are policies bought either through the new marketplace or outside of the new marketplace, but 90% of their customers aren't affected by this. Anthem will also point out sort of that 75% of the primary care docs in the state are still covered, 85% of the specialists. So this isn't a skinny network, which is a term we've heard around the country. It's a narrow network, but certainly for people like Amelia, this may mean switching doctors if your primary care doc is sort of aligned with Concord Hospital. You will not be able to sort of get procedures done there. But I imagine Amelia will be able to find another primary care doctor in Concord, so she may not have to drive to Manchester for each and every health service that she
gets.
Yeah,
we've talked about this extensively on the program, and you and I, Todd, have had a lot of conversations about
right.
this. There will be doctors in the Concord area who are part of this narrower network. However, Todd, she may have a hard time getting in to see those docs. Could be crowded.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We haven't sort of seen this actually sort of play out, so it's
all
too
right.
soon to know.
Well, good luck, Amelia, and thanks for the email. Let's go back to the phones, and Beverly's calling from Keene. Hi, Beverly, you're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a 21-year-old son who's in college, and he's been on an individual Blue Cross plan for years because we're older parents and we're both on Medicare. I want to know how this is going to affect him.
Yeah, so he's 21. You're on Medicare. Is that what you said,
right,
Beverly?
Right. My husband and I have been on, and our son's been on since before 2010, so he's grandfathered in. But I don't know grandfathered in for what.
Okay, Beverly, thanks.
Can we still go out of state?
Tricky question. And from what I understand, I don't know if this answers her question, but correct me if I'm wrong, folks. Young people under age 26 can go in there. Parents' insurance, right, Ton?
Right. If Beverly had her own sort of private insurance, her son would be able to stay on her parents' plan right up through his 26th birthday. As a 21-year-old, chances are what's going to make the most sense for Beverly's son, though, is to shop through the marketplace, see what his options are. As a 21-year-old with very little income as a college student, he may be able to get some subsidies. It's sort of too soon to know because the Medicaid expansion decision will also impact a student like him. But chances are he's going to want to sort of at least check out his options through the marketplace, see what his Anthem plan may cost. Sort of unclear what his income is, but he may be eligible for subsidies that actually make a plan sort of reasonable for him.
And Beverly mentioned that her son is in college, and she mentioned at the end they're going out of state. So I think that the situation for them might be determined by which state in which he considers himself to be a resident, which state his actual legal residency is in. If it's New Hampshire, then he would be working through the New Hampshire Exchange at healthcare.gov. And if it's the state where he's attending school, if that's where his primary residency is, he might have other options.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Beverly. And again, thanks for calling in. I don't know if we answered all of your question, but I hope we helped out a little bit. And you can also talk to an insurance broker or one of those health insurance navigators that we talked about earlier. We're taking your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Todd Bookman and Sarah Palermo, as we look at the rollout of these exchanges around the country and here in the Granite State, I want to take just a quick minute to go south to the Bay State in Massachusetts, which has already dealt with this years back when they put their own health insurance plan in place. Martha Biebinger is with us now from WBUR to talk a little bit about that. And Martha, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it.
Hi, Laura.
So, in Massachusetts, it's Health Connect. Is that right? Is that what your exchanges are called or your marketplaces?
The Connector is the place where people go to shop for health insurance.
Right. And you guys were sort of the forerunners of this whole idea, right, of using the private marketplace to help people buy health insurance.
Right. But there are some pretty interesting lessons from the first year. Of course, we don't know if people around the country will behave like the uninsured did in Massachusetts. But we saw a big spike in enrollment right away. There seemed to be a lot of pent-up demand for health insurance and for services. So the pattern seemed to be that people who really needed care signed up right away. That put a lot of strain on doctors and community health clinics that were seeing a flood of patients. It put a big strain on the state budget and on the whole coalition that it formed to support this. So I think it's important to keep in mind that when we try to estimate the number of uninsured around the country, we often don't really know exactly what that number is, and we don't know how much medical care they've been waiting to get in a period when they've been uninsured.
Wow. So you had in Massachusetts what we're experiencing now nationally, this initial rush to jump online and sign up?
Well, I mean, well, we had a rush well beyond what you might be seeing around the country in the first few days. I mean, we hit pretty close to the full capacity of the uninsured in that first year. You know, not completely, but the early numbers were much higher than people had expected, which left them wondering, well, did we underestimate the total altogether? Which was true to some degree, but not completely. I guess the message I'd like to leave is that they're just we really don't know exactly what to expect from this group of people in terms of how many there are or how much care they're going to need.
Wow. And I know Massachusetts, like many states, is running its own exchange. Here in New Hampshire, the federal government's running it. But in Massachusetts, you guys are taking care of it at the state level. So what has this rollout yesterday of the big federal marketplaces meant for Massachusetts? Was it sort of ho-hum, or did it make a change?
You know, I guess we're at some place in the middle. I mean, people who qualify will still have insurance, but there is a big logistical hurdle in that they all have to re-enroll. But roughly 150,000 people who have some form of government-subsidized care have to start the enrollment process all over again because the rules and the paperwork and the processing is a little different.
That's kind of a pain, isn't it?
What's that?
That's kind of a pain, isn't it?
I would say, yeah. And we expect that there'll be a lot of confusion as well, and probably people living without insurance for a while.
Okay. Well, Martha,
even though
thank
they
you.
Don't realize it. Okay,
thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Bye bye.
That's Martha Biebinger. Again, WBUR's healthcare reporter talking about how they're experiencing the rollout of the exchanges in the Bay State, given that they have had this system for a number of years now. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Roger's in Concord. Hi, Roger. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a couple of comments. One is that I was chatting with a friend of mine from California recently. She lives in San Diego. I'm 58, she's 64. We both have individual plans with high deductibles. And her monthly cost is $310, mine is $580, which I think highlights the difference in medical economics in different states, is the fact that New Hampshire is so small, causing a lack of competition and maybe higher insurance prices?
Oh, Roger, this is a great question, and I know one that we've talked a lot about on this show, right, guys? I mean, Todd, why are health insurance rates so high in New Hampshire? I think we're among the highest in the nation, so you're right, Roger.
We are. New England traditionally has some of the highest rates. We know that family premiums, New Hampshire pays something like the second highest family premiums. We also have extremely high deductibles. There's a number of drivers that lead to this, and there's a lot of sort of theories out there. But yes, prices are still higher in New Hampshire than they are going to be in sort of other places. For Roger, as a 58-year-old, though, depending on his income, healthcare coverage may become a lot more affordable for him, though, if he purchases through the exchange. It sort of depends on his subsidies. I mean, the thought here behind the Affordable Care Act, sort of on the whole, is to help people that can't afford insurance get their own coverage if they have to buy it by themselves. And so Roger may be one of the people that actually benefits quite well from this law. There are other people that are going to actually be paying more under the Affordable Care Act for their health insurance specifically. We're expecting younger people to have to sort of chip in more. We're expecting sort of older people, I hope Roger isn't offended by that, to potentially pay less. There's something called age rating where the maximum older people can only pay three times what younger people pay, and that's dropped down from the current New Hampshire law, which is four times. So we're still likely going to have sort of higher rates in New Hampshire than other places, but the sort of out-of-pocket for people like Roger may be less.
All right. Well, Roger, thanks a lot for calling in. And let's take another call. This is Jill in Manchester. Hi, Jill. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was just wondering, if somebody signs up for a more premium plan, are they stuck to that plan forever, or is it on a yearly basis?
Yeah, good question, Jill. And because there's a lot of moving parts, so you might want to switch at some point. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, it is actually an annual plan. This enrollment period that's open now, it's open until the end of March, and then next October it opens again. You can re-enroll into the same plan you have if you like it. You can change plans if you didn't like the one you were on. It's exactly the way insurance works now. I know that where I work, we sign forms every fall or winter for the next year.
Well, and especially relevant since in New Hampshire, right, Sarah, next year during the enrollment period, there's going to be another provider there. So
exactly.
You have a little bit more choice.
Exactly.
I hope that helps, Jill. Here's an email that came in a while ago from Bill who says, where does the revenue come from to fund the subsidies? Now, these are the subsidies on the exchanges for lower income folks who are seeking coverage. That's a good question, Bill. Ton?
I mean, there is sort of a lot of moving pieces to help fund the Affordable Care Act. Some would say it's not actually funded at all. But what funds this in part, you know, there's the medical device tax, which has become an issue in Washington currently, and it might be sort of one of the chips that we see to avert a government shutdown. There's also the mandates, the penalties that individuals and businesses will have to start paying if they don't have insurance or don't provide insurance. So that's also a source of money to help provide these subsidies. So there's a lot of sources out there, but I think it's too soon to tell if the law can actually pay for itself. I don't think anybody. I think there's a lot of divided opinion on that topic.
Yeah, it's a great question, one that the CBO has dug into, one that members of Congress have dug into. So it's a great question, Bill. Thank you. Let's take one more call if we could. This is Andrea in Danville. Hi, Andrea. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. I was just wondering, myself, I don't believe in Western doctors or medicine. I go to a holistic healer for all my medical needs. So what will happen to people like me who don't go to the doctor's office?
Well, so Andrea, you probably pay for that out of pocket right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do you have health insurance at all?
I don't.
You don't. Are you thinking about checking this out to see if you might qualify or if it's not that expensive for you?
I'm not really interested in it just because I don't go to the doctor's office. So I was just wondering if there was going to be some kind of plan, you know, because holistic healing is getting much more popular these days. And I didn't know if there was going to be something where some plans maybe offered, you know, had holistic healers in their circle.
Yeah. Andrea, thanks a lot for calling. And I know a lot of people do seek alternative medicine these days. Sarah, I'm guessing that won't change, that insurance companies still, in general, don't cover holistic healing or a lot of alternative practices.
The plans that are being offered on the exchange aren't going to be that drastically different than the plans that are being offered by Anthem right now. If Anthem is, or next year other companies as well, if they are starting to incorporate holistic alternative healing into their coverage, then they might start incorporating that into the plans that are on the marketplace. But right now, as far as I'm aware, there's no plan on the marketplace that would specifically cover alternative healing.
Yeah, well, it's a good question because people don't know how much things are going to change. And it sounds like the standard attitudes by insurance companies towards holistic healing will remain the same. Thank you very much for calling in, Andrea. And here's an email that came in from Susan who says, I've been unable to set up an account on New Hampshire's Healthcare Exchange due to technical glitches, which you talked about earlier. I have tried more than a dozen times, says Susan. At this point, all I want is information about the different plans available. Our family would probably not qualify for assistance. Is there any other online source for information regarding the different plans available and their costs? So that's an email from Susan. Then I got an email from Susan at Bi-State Primary Care Association, who is one of the navigators. And she says the New Hampshire Community Health Centers have certified application counselors and or navigators on staff to assist people with the New Hampshire Health Insurance Marketplace. She says the website, findahealthcenter.org. findahealthcenter.org. She said it provides a map to find your nearest community health center. Again, that's an email that came in from Bi-State Primary Care Association. So I want to let the first Susan who emailed in wanting information know about that and to let everyone know that we'll be putting some links about getting help, finding counselors, finding navigators on our website, nhpr.org, nhpr.org. And Todd Bookman, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you helping us wade through this hour, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Laura.
That's NHPR's Todd Bookman, our health reporter. Sarah Palermo, it was great to meet you. Thank you also for your time.
It was my pleasure.
Sarah Palermo, the Concord Monitor's health reporter. Again, our website, nhpr.org, and we'll try to get some links up there soon about where you can find out more information about these healthcare marketplaces. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteers are John Barrett and Alan Cohen. Our theme music was written by Bob Lord. The executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, the federal debt and the Constitution. As another debt ceiling deadline looms on top of a government shutdown, we'll look at what our nation's defining document, especially the 14th Amendment, says about federal debt, as well as the roles of Congress and the president. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and then join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.
Show next at 10 on NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from Hinckley Allen, attorneys at law who believe a lawyer should also understand your business. More information about Hinckley Allen and the clients they serve is online at hinckleyallen.com. And from North Branch Construction, celebrating 55 years in business, from custom-built homes to eco-friendly commercial buildings, on time, on budget. Find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and northbranch.net.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
Good morning, it's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. In President Obama's words yesterday, one faction of one party in one House of Congress in one branch of government shut down major parts of the government because they didn't like one law. And, of course, that one law is the